What is the definition of prayer? Would someone venture a definition of prayer here this morning? Now, you know, a workshop means you're supposed to work. It's not a preaching session. No one's going to preach at you. This is a workshop for your working. All right? Any volunteers before I volunteer someone? What is prayer? Charles Clayton, what is prayer? Well, the most simple definition that you can get about prayer is that it's talking to God. Talking to God. All right, let's take it a little further. You know, you can talk to people here on earth in several ways. You can talk around the world by radio. You can talk by telephone almost any place in this hemisphere very easily. You can talk long distance to a town not too far away. You can talk in the same town but still separated. You can talk face to face. Now, which one of those would be really a definition of prayer, talking to God? What do you understand prayer to be? Long distance calls? Where do you think heaven is? You know? Is heaven someplace way off in the blue where there's an old man with a long beard sitting up there, kind of remote and removed, with a great big console there before him for telephone wires and calls coming in? And you know, a lot of people think that's what prayer is. And then pretty soon he just says, boy, I'm going to rest a while. I'm not going to answer those calls. Well, that's the way a lot of people have the idea about prayer. But prayer is talking to God in the sense of face to face. Person to person, but in the same room. In the same place. Now, how is this accomplished? Well, it's simple in that we come into His throne room. Let's look up Hebrews chapter 4 and just get the basis of prayer this morning. Really firm in our hearts and minds so that we won't have any mistake about what prayer really is and who it's for. Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 14. And I'll take the liberty to read this, and then I'll ask you some questions. Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may obtain or receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right? Who has the right to go into the throne room of God? Who has this right? What would you say from this passage here? Denny? All right, those who have a personal relationship with this great high priest. Now, the priestly function or the job of the priest is to bring the people to God. This was always the vocation and the job of the high priest under the economy of God in the Old Testament. The high priest was the one who offered the sacrifices and brought the people into the presence of God. Now, there is no more high priest here on earth. No man can do this. That economy passed away. But there is a high priest who sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. He gave His own blood for our sakes. He is our righteousness. And it's on that basis and that basis alone that we can come into the presence of God. If you try any other way, you have ineffective praying. If you try to come into God's presence on the basis of, I'm not such a bad guy or girl, you have ineffective prayer immediately. The only basis in which we can come into the presence of God is on the work and the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So, this is what he means when he says that we're to pray in his name. This is what it means when it says we're to come through him. We're to pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, how are we to come into the presence of God? How are we to come into the throne room, as it were? What do you think? Tim?
Well, timid and shy.
Yes, that's right. Just crawling and really afraid, huh? Is that right? Sue? Is that what it says there? Just the opposite, huh? It's like the boy that was going to confess his sins and he burst into the confessionary there and says, dig me, Daddy, I goofed, to the priest. You know, is that the way? Boldly? No. What does boldly mean here? Or with confidence? It doesn't mean to come in and say, hey, God, here I am. You know, I've been a good boy or I've been a good girl or boy, I've really done a lot. Listen to me. That isn't what boldness means, is it? But it doesn't mean cringing. See, it's the opposite of that, too. Boldly means to come in with your heart right before God and to come there expecting God to listen to you. And at the same time, humbly acknowledging that it's through Jesus Christ that we come. But you know, Satan, one of Satan's biggest blows against the Christian is the guilt complex that we can't seem to get rid of because we can't believe the promise that Christ died for us. And so we try to find some other way to come to God instead of boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, why should we come into the throne room? Why? Let's have someone else answer. Why? Marv Kruger, why should we come?
Well,
it says to come, doesn't it? All right. Is there any other reason? It's a command. All right. When you have a need, right? To find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Now, does that mean that you're to pray only when you have a need? Right. Because it's so great. If you received an invitation from the governor of your state to come and dine with him, I believe that if you didn't have anything else to do that evening, you'd probably go. You know? Why? Boy, that's a great invitation. That's a great opportunity. The God of the heavens and the earth says to you, come to my throne room. Come. An invitation has been given. All right. Well, this is the basis of prayer that I want to touch on this morning. The basis is that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. But I have here some things that I want us to look up, and I'd like for you to pick a verse out of here, out of this list, look it up, and we'll talk about it. So Each one of you try to pick a verse there, and then I'll call on you to read it for us. All right, someone look up Psalm 66:18 on the side of ineffective praying. Psalm 66:18. First one has it. Raise up your hand, and someone else be looking up Proverbs 28:9, etc. Who has 66:18? Okay, Scott.
Fire your iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Okay. Ineffective prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see why so much prayer is ineffective? What does regard iniquity in my heart mean? If I regard iniquity in my heart, what does that mean? Gene, what does it mean to you? Okay, you know about it, and you won't do anything about it. In the Revised Standard Version, it says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart. See, that even brings it out a little bit clearer, what Gene is talking about. You not only know it, you not only see it, but you cherish it. You are not willing to give it up. I prayed for 20-something years, publicly, privately, and ineffectively. I was a member of a church, and head of a youth group, all this. But I cherished iniquity in my heart and wouldn't give it up. A lot of years to waste in prayer. But I know what this verse is talking about. Ineffective praying. All right, let's go to the next one. Proverbs 28:9. Who has it? Someone? All right, look these things up. Proverbs 28:9. Who has it? Okay, George?
If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination.
Okay, George, what does that mean to you? How can prayer be ineffective, according to this verse?
Why not? Taking heed to the word of God.
Okay. Turning away your ear from hearing His word. Have you ever said, oh, I don't think I'll go to church this morning. I can pray just as well right here. I can have fellowship with God just as well right here in my little room. Have you ever said that? If you turn away your ear from hearing the word of God, He'll turn away His ear from hearing you. See, prayer is what Charles said, talking to God. It's a two-way conversation. You stop listening to Him, and He'll stop listening to you. And I've heard young people tell me, oh, I don't need to do that Bible study stuff. Man, I just pray. I just pray to God. Keep praying all the time. Well, Proverbs 28:29 says that that isn't 28:9 says that that isn't true. You have to listen to Him too. You have to listen to Him if you want Him to listen to you. Okay, who has 1 Peter 3:7? Denny.
Likewise, you husbands, live considerately with your wives, bestowing honor on the woman as the weaker sex, since you are joint heirs of the grace of life. In order that your prayers may not be hindered.
All right. How many married people we have in here this morning? Okay. There's a few around. The rest of you, this is for you in the future. But you know, it works also with your roommate. Or any person, even with your family. Any close relationship. If you don't live decently and in a right relationship with them, your prayers will be hindered. Now, the husband and the wife have a very close communion and relationship that they have to guard at all times. Or else their praying will be ineffective. And it works like this. If you've got something between you and another person, you don't get through up this way. your vertical relationship is fouled up too. Because horizontally, something's wrong. You just try praying to God when you're mad at someone else. See how ineffective it is. And we'll get into this later. But remember this. Prayer can be hindered by our attitude and our relationship with other people. Okay, who has James 4, 3? Okay, James. Okay, what does that mean to you?
It means that the person is asking, amiss because they're wanting to, well, that's what their own personal gain.
Okay, they're asking. You know, they're talking to God, but they don't get through. They're on the wrong wavelength. They're asking for things just for themselves. And God isn't a bellhop to come when you snap your fingers and to do this and do that. He wants to serve you. God is a servant, but He wants to serve you in the things that will help you be what you ought to be, not just in every little thing you want. And that's another wrong attitude that people have about God. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 45:5. Here we have it. Okay, that's good enough. The rest of the verse is good too, but this is the main part. And it goes right along with James 4:3, but it says, seekest thou, what? Great things for thyself. You know, a lot of our praying is so hypocritical. We're asking God to bless His work and to give glory to His name, and really, what we're interested in is what? Great things for ourselves. And God says to us, you're seeking great things for yourself, and I'm not going to answer that prayer. That'd be the worst thing I could do for you. Seek them not. Get your motive right in prayer. Don't be hypocritical about it. If you've got a bad motive, confess it to the Lord and tell Him, you know I have this problem, Lord. You know that I want to be great and be famous and all the rest. Now take this desire out of my heart and then do something in this work that you've given me to do. Give me some souls, but not for myself. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. Is what Psalm 115:1 says. But this is a trap in prayer that Satan lays for us to seek great things for ourselves. James 1:6-7. Okay.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and cloud. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord.
Okay. Ineffective prayer, huh? What is it? Alright, and he says, if you don't believe, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, who can quote it? Marvin? Get it started, okay? Alright, there it goes. See, there it goes along. He is not only that He exists, not only faith that He exists, because a lot of people pray and they believe that there's a God, but they're still not praying in faith because they don't believe that He is a rewarder, that He's going to do what they ask Him. There's no expectation. There's no faith there. We'll touch on this a little bit later too. But you must pray in faith, believing. And Matthew 5:23-24, who has that one? Okay, Raj. Okay. If there's something between you and some other person, you might as well stop praying and go get that thing right. Don't keep on praying. If God brings something to your mind that's between you and your brother or your sister, stop. Stop praying. Go get that thing right, if it's at all possible. I've had to go write letters because I wasn't in the place where I could get something right. But get it right before I went ahead and prayed. Because this goes back to that first thing. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord won't hear you. Get it right. And then one step further. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, what does that say? Okay, Paul? All right.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
It's not only getting something right when you have offended another person, but it's forgiving other people. And if you've got something on your mind that you're burned up about what someone else did to you, you might as well stop praying. You're not getting through. Stop. Forgive him by faith. Put the thought out of your mind every time it returns and say, I have forgiven him. Which means, just like he'd never done it. That's the way God forgives. And that's the way we have to forgive. Even as God has forgiven us, so we should forgive all those who would sin against us. This makes for ineffective praying if we don't forgive others. And then the last one that I have listed here is Matthew 6, 7. Who wants to read that one? Okay. Okay. Boy, and not only a lot of words are long praying, but certain terminology. Just the way that a person thinks he has to pray. Certain ways of speaking. Talk to God as your friend. As your closest friend. As your father. And it doesn't take much long talking to talk to your father, if you know him very well. You just come in and tell him what you need, what you want. All right, let's go on to the other side then. Effective praying also is presented to us here in the Word of God. James 5:16. Who has that one? Okay. All right, this verse has several things, really. The need for confession, one to another, getting things right, being yourself, being open with the brethren, but also this last phrase here, the prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effect. That's what the Revised Version says. Or the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see how prayer is based on and linked to righteousness. You want to have effective prayer? Then be righteous. Live the holy life. That is the effective prayer. The powerful prayer. 1 John 1:9. Let's see someone quote that one. Joe? All right, since ineffective prayer has to do with known and cherished sin, the only way to make our prayer effective is to what? Confess our sins to the Lord and get them right. Get them right. And this makes for effective prayer. Immediately, you're forgiven. You don't have to wait. You don't have to bear any burdens around. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to make up for these things. You are forgiven and cleansed. And therefore, you're praying from that second on if it's by faith, is effective. 2 Chronicles 7:14 talks about the same thing.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Okay, talks about confession, also humbling. Really seeking his face and humbling yourself. And then God says, then will I hear. Effective praying is the humiliation that comes when we realize really what we are before God. And a humbling of our proud hearts. Coming to him. Seeking his face. Matthew 21, 22. Okay, Ron? Okay, once again, faith, right? For effective prayer, asking in faith. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Jim?
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the conditions that we desire of him.
Okay, the key there is asking what? Asking according to his will. Asking for what he wants you to have. And how do we know what his will is? By searching the word. Isn't that right? Okay. 1 Chronicles 4:10 is a good example of prayer in the Old Testament. And who would like to read that one for us? Okay, Scott?
And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from the evil, that it might not grieve me. And God granted that which he requested.
Boy, talk about a prayer that was effective. God granted him that which he asked. And why did God do that? I hope you'll take that verse down and do a little analyzing on it. Why do you think God answered Jabez's prayer? I think there are four things in the four requests that really are important. And instead of mentioning them this morning, why don't you just take that verse for your own meditation and ask, meditate on it and then ask those things for your own life. The way the Lord might lead you. That's a tremendous personal prayer request. John 16:24 and 27. Who has that one? How about some girls? Over here. Barb, you have it? Who has it over here? Well, you know 16:24, so... Okay. Volunteer? Excuse me, I guess that was 26 and 27 that you should have in there. Jesus is saying that we should ask, how? In his name. Once again, not in our own righteousness, not in our own name, not in any other person's name. Not in the name of any person who has ever lived on the face of the earth do you ask God the Father your requests. Not in Abraham's name, not in Moses' name, not in Mary's name. Not in Joseph's name, not in Peter's name, not in Paul's name, not in Dawson Trotman's name. You don't ask in anybody's name except Jesus' name. He is our great high priest. And he says, in fact, when I get to heaven, I'm not even going to have to ask for you, because the Father himself hears you because you love me and believe in me. That's all. All right? And then let's see Ephesians 6:18. Who has that one? Let's have her read right here. Okay, what does that verse tell us about effective praying? All right, first of all, in His Spirit. By His energy, by His direction, by His guidance, not our own thinking, not our own ways. What's another thing? With perseverance, alertness. And what's another thing? For others. For all our brothers. This is important in a prayer life. Colossians 4:12 is another prayer for others. How to pray for others. Effective prayer for others. What? Do you have it? Who has that verse? Okay, Charlie? Okay, he labored. You know, effective prayer is hard work. He labored fervently for others in prayer. Don't think that you can have effective prayer without paying the price. It takes time, it takes effort, it is work. So, let's face it. Let's look at it that way. It's work. And then the last two that we have here, Nehemiah 1:8 through 10. Who would like to read that one? Okay. Okay, what does that say to you about effective praying?
It says that if you want your prayer to be effective, you have to obey
the command. All right. And what do you think he meant when he said, remember thy word? Effective prayer. Yeah, effective prayer is on the basis of his promises. Oh, if you want to have effective prayer, base your requests on the promises of God. Find a promise for what you need, for what you want. You see, then most of these other things take care of themselves. If we're basing it on the Word of God and we're obeying it, as he pointed out. Okay, I'd like to read this last one, Matthew 18, verse 19. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Verse 20 along with it. This is effective prayer. Getting a prayer buddy, a prayer partner, a prayer mate to agree with you and pray with you. To claim the promises of God. You know, Ecclesiastes 4:9 says that two are better than one. And probably in no other place is this more true than in prayer. Now, it doesn't mean that all of our praying should be with another person. No, we should spend plenty of time with God in secret. But to have someone else that will pray with us regularly is one of the greatest helps in the Christian life. Now I'd like to give you three practical helps about effective praying. And you can just put these down, 1, 2, 3, are very simple. First of all, use lists. prayer list. Make a prayer list of the things that you really want God to do. But don't say, bless so-and-so, or bless this. Put a practical request that God can answer and you can see answered. And I like to help myself do this by putting a column on one side for the answer and a column on the other side for the request. Then I know if I'm not asking something that I can actually see the answer to and write it down, God answered on June the 13th this request by whatever happened, then I know I'm not praying specifically. And if you want specific answers, you have to have specific requests. And that's why I ask you to take this 1 Chronicles 4:10 down and meditate on it and think about it. Those are specific requests that he wanted for his life. Something that you need. Something that I need. And we can translate that into our own experience and come up with specific requests and answers. Expect them from God. Secondly, turn the scriptures into prayer. Learn to talk with God with the scriptures. And in your devotional times, I would suggest and just urge you to learn to, when you come to a verse that speaks to your heart, stop right then and pray over it. Turn it back to the Lord in prayer. Talk to Him about that verse. Claim it. Ask it from God. Or if it is something that makes you think of someone else's need, stop and pray over that verse. Turn God's Word back to Him in prayer. This you can effectively do in your quiet time. As you're reading through a chapter of the Word of God, you can stop and pray your way through that chapter. And oh, what precious fellowship that is with the Lord. Him talking to you, you talking to Him. That's real prayer. And then the third practical suggestion is that you'd learn to praise and thank the Lord. This takes effort. You have to learn to do this. It isn't normal. It isn't the kind of praying that we do normally. Usually we come when we have some urgent, burning need, and we come right in and we forget the art of praise and thanksgiving. But over in Psalm 100, verse 4, it tells us how we're to enter into the presence of this throne room, the presence of God on His throne of grace. We're to enter. How? Enter? Does anyone know that verse? Yeah? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. The picture of the old temple. First you came through the gate with thanksgiving. And then into that inner court there with praise. This is the way to approach the Lord. And if we can learn this great lesson, oh, how it changes our whole prayer life. And one little assignment I think that every one of us ought to take for ourselves is to go off somewhere alone with the Lord and praise Him for the longest period of time you can. Without asking one single thing. Just praise and thank and worship God. Someone challenged me to do this once early in my Christian life. And I went out, got my watch there, and boy, I praised and I praised and I prayed. I ran out of praise and I peeked down there. 1 minute had passed. Well, see, it's something you have to learn. It isn't natural. The human heart doesn't know too much about God's praise. So I went to the Psalms, the last Psalms in the book of Psalms from 145 on to the end are Psalms of pure praise. And so to learn to praise God, I just went to those Psalms and prayed over each one of those verses and learned to praise the Lord in this way. Well, I went over time and we don't have that time that I was hoping we would have for individual prayer. But let's do this. Our discussion groups are going to discuss this particular thing. And let's do it in the discussion groups. Let's spend some time in the discussion groups at the end, maybe just to break up in prayer in twos or threes. Is that, Jim, is that what you're going to say? Okay, good. Well, thank you for looking up all those verses for me and for being such good volunteers. And the Lord help you to be effective prayer warriors.